When you read the New Testament, remember, this is the blessing in operation. This ought to be happening around us all the time. We are the body of Christ. That's got a new ring to it, you know it? We are the body of His authority. We are the body of that blessing.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland shares with you how to operate as an heir of heaven's promise. Now, here's Kenneth.
We've been talking about heaven's blessing. God planted a garden east of Eden. He took seed from heaven, planted a garden, and He made it grow. And that garden was prepared and it was grown, and it had everything in it, including gold, so Adam would have something to make streets out of later, and building material for whatever kind of home he wanted to build, and just good stuff. Man, I mean just wonderful thing. And then He created the man and He put him in it. Then the last thing He did before He finished His work of creation, the last work that He did, He put the blessing on the man, and it was the same power and glory with which He had created this home, this whole material universe, the very blessing of God. Well, we've been talking about that all week long, when Adam, you know, he did what he did. Well, then the blessing then came on Noah and his sons. And then Shem walked in it. The other two boys didn't, but Shem did. And then Shem blessed Abraham. And the blessing came on him. And through Abraham, and the blessing of God, Jesus, came into the earth. Hallelujah. And through Jesus now, that heavenly Eden blessing belongs to us. Now, it's so vitally important when you go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that you realize that the Bible said Jesus emptied Himself of all His divine privileges. He didn't do any miracle. He didn't do anything in this earth in His 3 years of ministry. See? In fact, He didn't do any ministry until He was 30 years old, and He didn't do any ministry until He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. You understand? Now, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me." So everything He did as a prophet he called Himself a prophet, under the Abrahamic covenant. So everything He did, every miracle, every healing, everything, all the way through His ministry, was a manifestation of the Eden blessing, the blessing of Abraham without measure. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? Well, He said, "The things that I do, you'll do also, because I'm going to my Father." Well, did He go? Well, did He? Yeah, He did. And He said, "Even greater things than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." How in the world could we ever expect to do greater things? Because we're living under a better covenant than the one under which He ministered as a prophet under the Abrahamic covenant. Now, we should be, and it is available to us, and we're learning, praise God, that blessing in fullness is available to us. That we can walk in this blessing without measure. Oh, Brother Copeland, how could we ever do that? I mean, Jesus never sinned. Well, if you'll learn 1 John, the first chapter, and if you'll learn Isaiah 43, 25, and 26, and how to partake of that part of the blessing, then by faith, through repentance, and knowing how to believe God, and not let some kind of sin and condemnation get in your life and stay there, as far as the devil's concerned, you're living a sin-free life. Huh? Oh, yeah, amen. Because that's part of the covenant between the Heavenly Father and the resurrected Lord Jesus. And later on tonight, we're going to take a look at His high priestly ministry. And He's faithful and just and merciful high priest that is righteous to forgive us our sins when we confess them. Now, when you read the New Testament, remember, this is the blessing in operation. This ought to be happening around us all the time. We are the body of Christ. That's got a new ring to it, you know it? We are the body of His authority. We are the body of that blessing. Amen. He is the high priest of that blessing. That blessing is in His hands. And you and I are distributors. Amen. I'm doing my best to be a worldwide distributor of the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Look with me in the third chapter, if you will, of the book of Hebrews. Verse 1. And in fact, let's read the 17th and 18th verses, the last two verses of the second chapter, we'll read right down into that. I don't like to start a sentence with wherefore. I mean, there's just something weird about that. Well, there it is again, wherefore. Verse 16, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, tested, and tried, He is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to take full responsibility and full care and full everything it takes. He is able to be the Savior of them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider, fix your mind and your thinking on the apostle. The word apostle means the one God sent. Fix your mind. Consider the one God sent, the one God appointed, the faithful and merciful high priest called of God, the high priest of our profession, of our confession, the anointed Jesus. Now, can you see that that right there is referring to the fact that He is anointed for the calling of being high priest of our profession? Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. Now, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him? As also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, excuse me, we just read that He is faithful in things concerning and pertaining to God and the reconciliation of the people. Now, what does that mean? Well, He's faithful to God. Amen? He's faithful to what he's called to do. He's faithful to his calling. He's faithful to that anointing. But it also means he's faithful to us. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. 1 John chapter 1 makes the statement. He is a faithful and a just or a righteous high priest to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For us to confess sin before him and believe we receive our forgiveness. For him not to forgive when you confess it, not when you felt better about it, not when guilt went away, but when you confess it and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, he would be an unjust priest. Because that's what he's called to do. He is anointed to forgive. He is anointed to cleanse. He's assigned in those things, and he's faithful in those things pertaining to God and pertaining to us. Now then, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But the one anointed as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Amen. Now then, let's go to the fifth chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. Well, let's read the fourth verse. No man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ, the anointed one. Now, wait a minute. What is he anointed to do? Well, he's anointed to be a faithful and just high priest. He is anointed as high priest over our confession, over his words in our mouths. All right. So also the one anointed glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, the Father said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. What day? The day he raised him from the dead. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now, that's not talking about being frightened or fear like that. That word translated fear means he totally humbled himself to the Father's complete will and absolute total reverence and complete confidence. Reverential humbling before God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God. Now, here is the heavenly calling. We are partakers of this heavenly calling. Called of God, a high priest forever, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we see here where there are two things. He is the high priest. He's faithful, merciful, high priest, made after the seed of Abraham. He is the high priest over his word in our mouths. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, those two things come together in their calling. And we're going to see some of those things tonight. Excuse me. But he is called after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Now let's read this slowly and carefully. I want these words to talk to you. Why? Because you are a partaker of this heavenly calling. You ought to be partaking of it. Amen. Your name's in the book. Amen. You know, if they called the whole family in and said, now, you know, your granddaddy's left a fortune here, and each one of you are named in the will, well, that makes you a partaker in this, doesn't it? Well, now, it's a dirty shame if you won't partake. Well, I don't know why they don't give me something. Well, you ought to go get it. It's yours. Well, I know, but now, you know, I want to be humble about it. No, you're just being dumb. Why? You're not partaking. Now, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He entered a blood covenant with a man, and he said, if I ever break covenant with you, I will self-destruct. That's about as tough as you can get. Saying, surely, guarantee, blessing I'll bless you, multiplying I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation, a covenant for confirmation is an end of all strife, all argument. A covenant is the end of the argument. By his stripes you were healed. Now what is there about that you don't understand? Now get this verse right here. This needs to be part of your memory. You need to memorize this 17th verse. God willing more abundantly. Faith begins where the will of God is known. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the absolute, complete, impossible to changeness of his word. To show abundantly to the heirs of promise. And if you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs? And heirs. Say, I'm an heir.
I'm blessed.
The promise is to me. The immutability of his counsel, his word, in order to show it and to prove it, he entered into a blood covenant with the man, and then later on, he did what he said. He spilled his own blood in behalf of the covenant he made with Abraham. Now, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, two immutable, unchangeable, two things impossible to change. What was it? The blood and the bread. the blood and the body. You remember when Melchizedek, I mean, it's after the order of Melchizedek. We're reading right into him right here and now. But you remember when he showed up to receive Abram's tithe, he had the bread and the wine, elements of the covenant. He was showing him then, look here, I'm a high priest of Almighty God, and what I'm saying to you is from heaven on high. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he believed it because of the bread and the wine. And it ought to still be on your table today. You're an heir to the promise. Same two elements. Don't wait till the second Sunday of the month or whenever your church takes communion. Dear Lord, take it four times a day if you want to. Or whatever, however many times it takes. Oh yeah, you ought to be running to that communion table. That's your healing table. That's your blessing table. Dear God. Strong thing. Now, here's what, look carefully. That by two immutable things, we might have a strong consolation, a strong inner strength. That covenant. When you have covenant on your mind, you call on the name of the Lord. I've lifted my hand to him. I am his man and he's my savior. He's my high priest. Praise God. When you were born again, you were not born a servant of God. You were born a child of God. Moses, a servant over his house. Jesus, a son over his house, whose house we are. But I'll tell you, it's a different thing on a different level when a son, a joint heir of Christ Jesus, comes in before his Lord and says, my God, I'll serve you as long as there's breath in me. I'll serve you. I'll fight your battles. I'll go to war. I'll preach. I'll do whatever it is. I'm yours to command, sir. I'm your servant. The Apostle Paul called it a bond servant. I'm not a slave because I have to be. Bless God, I'm a servant because I want to be. I'm a king, but I have fallen on my knee. And I covenant with my Lord. Hallelujah. But I fully intend for that blessing to be intact. Amen. And he fully intends for me to see to it that it is. My faith is out there, and I'm not moved by what I see or what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe, and bless God, his word is unchangeable. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Discover the good life of knowing God and receiving all he has for you with these two life-changing books by Gloria Copeland. To know him will take you beyond religion into a relationship with God that is certain to change your life forever. You'll find your priorities changing as you learn how to hear his voice, talk with him without fear, share your heart, and find answers to your deepest questions. In Blessed Beyond Measure, another book by Gloria Copeland, every page will take you on a personal journey to experience God's goodness. You'll discover how much he loves you, and why salvation is just the start of receiving all he has promised you in his word. To Know Him and Blessed Beyond Measure by Gloria Copeland. Two books that will change the way you look at God and the way you build your relationship with him. Purchase the new paperback editions of Blessed Beyond Measure and To Know Him, two great resources by Gloria Copeland at a special price of only $10 each. This limited time offer is available online through our website at kcm.org or when you call toll free 800-575-4455 or when you write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Blessed Beyond Measure and To Know Him by Gloria Copeland, now in special paperback edition.
I want to talk to you today about these two books of Gloria's. Of course, they've been out for quite some time in hardback, but they're available now in paperback, and they're available together. Now, this is important. You know, Gloria and I have been married for over 46 years. We've been blessed and married for 46 years. There's not been one time in 46 years that Gloria or I, either one, even thought about going home to mama. No, we were already home. Praise God. And Jesus came into our lives and came into our marriage when we were only married 6 months. And a great amount of the success of our marriage and the fabulous, the just wonderful times we have together are in these two books. And if you have any problems in your family at all, or any of the rest of it, you need to get a hold of these books. Beyond Religion Waits a Relationship That'll Change Your Life. And I'm telling you, you need to get these books by my wife, Gloria. This is the year of the blessing without measure, the fullness of blessing. And as we approach the presidential election here in the United States, now I'm telling you something right now, you seek God and you pray and you find out for whom God is telling you to vote. Don't you vote because of finances. Don't you vote because of a bunch of junk you got on television. They don't know anything anyway. And the economy is not in the hands of the president. The economy and its ups and downs and ins and outs, that is a spiritual thing. And you need to be living in the blessing of the Lord and not depending on the economy for what you have or don't have. What you need and what I need is to pray and sow that vote as a seed. The seed in obedience to God for the next 4 years of our nation and for our families and for our churches. Praise God. Amen. If you live outside the United States, we need your prayers. Believe God with us. Praise God. This election and its outcome will affect the entire body of Christ and the entire world. Praise God. Father, we pray your perfect will be done in this coming election. In the name of Jesus. Gloria and I are going to be in the believers from around this world in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Victory Campaign, November 13th through the 15th. You've got to be there at the Hilton Memorial Woodbridge Chapel there in Virginia. See you next time. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.
This is the day of miracles and healing.
We believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.